Okay, and welcome back. My name is Jeremy Thake. I'm a technical product manager on the Office 365 team here in Redmond, and I work primarily with a pro developer audience, which is obviously very relevant to this course that you're attending today online. And with me, I actually have Brian Jones, who's from the engineering team. So again, thanks very much for taking your time to move away from the keyboard and your scrums and backlogs and everything else you're doing around Office 365 and come and talk to us about the Office 365 APIs.
Absolutely, yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. Thankfully, there still is a keyboard, so I feel,
feel a little bit at home, yeah.
But it's good to be here.
Yeah. Great, and our Twitter handles are at the top, so I'm sure Brian would love some more Twitter followers, so at Jones206. He's getting a bit more engaged now on the social stuff. We've been pushing him pretty hard. So
a little bit.
Yeah,
hopefully,
if you at mention him, he'll get all excited.
And I'll get excited if it starts picking up.
Yeah. So today what we're going to be talking about is getting started with the Office 365 APIs. Just to give some background, there is going to be an additional course that goes in a lot deeper perspective around the Office 365 APIs, specifically targeting each individual service. So this session is really an overview to get an understanding of what is available to you as an Office 365 developer across the APIs, and then obviously then the additional modules that go a lot deeper into each area. So today it's just to get you excited, to give you a flavor of what's out there. So today what we're going to talk about is just really introducing the concept of the APIs, how you can get started with those APIs, and then we're going to go through a significant amount of demos just to highlight some of that power of what's available to you. So with that, just to kind of set the focus of this, you've seen it in some of the other modules. What we really are looking at from an Office 365 developer platform here is that you can go as a developer and build inside our user interface, whether it's across Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook, or even some of our server products like, for instance, SharePoint and Project. And this module here is actually going to cover the other flip side of that, which is where you maybe have mobile device applications or standalone web applications where you're going to call our API to really reach in and leverage that rich set of services that you're familiar with as a developer that we've had available for a very long time. Now, the important thing here is it gives us that flexibility that you don't have to be built into our platform. So you can be leveraging from a device application across Windows Phone, Android, and iOS, or from a standalone web application, you could be building across Ruby or Rails or Node or PHP or any other web application platform, and you're not tied to something like Windows Azure. You could be running inside Windows, inside AWS, for instance. And so what were some of the reasons there, Brian, of why we've taken this approach to really decouple our development approach there?
Yeah, one of the things that we really saw, we've always, when we had thought about programmability in the past in Office, it was really more about how do we let people extend our experiences, and that was, if you looked at that slide that Jeremy just had up, that was that left side around really just extending our endpoints. The big shift for us, and it's actually really a big deal and something we're really excited about, is as we've seen this just big revolution around mobile devices and the cloud, you know, we realize that there's no way that we in Office are going to build out all of those experiences that people are going to have on a mobile device when they're at work, when they're doing things that are productive or productivity related. And so for us, because of that, we really think an important thing for us was to say, you know, we need to at least make sure that we're providing some rich services to people when they are building out those solutions. So the same way right now, the key things you see on mobile devices are really more around consumer apps, where you see all of these little point solutions, the app for your map, the app for movie times, the app for weather. We'll start to see more and more of that show up in the enterprise as people are bringing their devices to work. And so if we can go and provide a rich set of services that all of those apps can connect to, then if that app has anything to do with your time or your calendar, it can connect to the O365 API that has your calendar information. So that same calendar that you see in Outlook, your apps will also be able to go and connect to. And that'll really allow those productivity apps to not really be so isolated and feel like they're off on an island where the set of tasks you create, the meetings you create, are just within that app. They'll all be connected, and so all those apps will feel like they're part of the same community. And so it's a really important thing for us.
Yeah, and so with that, I guess where we talk about that is that the APIs is a strong part in terms of that integration back into our services. And so I think moving forward, as we add additional services there, it'll be really exciting to see, you know, what business scenarios actually come up in the sense of building something that may call the mail, may call OneDrive for Business, or maybe even communicate via the Yammer channels as well. Or even Office Graph, which is obviously getting a lot of excitement right now in terms of how we discover information that is happening, not just for me individually, but as I like to joke with people, how I stalk Brian about the engineering documents he's building around new features coming out, and maybe surfacing that in our own custom device apps as and when those APIs are available to pull that information from the Office Graph.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of developers that when they saw the demos run Office Graph at SharePoint Conference, people saw right away the power of that. Office Graph and then the experience of Oslo on top of that, where people can easily start to find new information that's relevant to them based on what other people in their enterprise are doing. So we had a lot of developers talk to us right away about, hey, what are the APIs going to be for that? How can I go and call into the graph? How can I submit my own information into the graph? How can I send signals into the graph so that my stuff can be discovered through that too? So that's one of the things that we'll focus on. Really, this is just the beginning. The set of APIs that we talked about at SharePoint Conference were around files, mail, and calendar. But as you can imagine, there's a lot of information that we have, like not just files, but the content within the files, things like the graph, tasks, OneNote, we made a big, huge deal around this spring as well about APIs for that. So we're going to continue to go and add APIs for all of those features and all of that data that we have in our systems so that you can go and access that as a developer. And it's also something we're really looking to get feedback from the community around. What are the apps that you want to build? And what's the information that lives inside of O365 for your customers that you'd like to get access to? And how would you like to have that exposed?
Yeah. So with that, let's jump in a bit of an introduction here. So you would have seen this slide before if you'd have watched our intro module, but essentially what we saw over time, and again, something that I know I've definitely done as a developer, is go and capture someone's username and password and store that within your device or maybe your standalone web application. But with the way that the future is going with OAuth, essentially what that allows you to do is that the device app will bounce you over to a logging page within Office 365. And why do we do that? What's the purpose of bouncing over to Office 365?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the key thing there is that we really wanted to have one prompt, one consistent way of going and allowing that app to request the set of data that it wants access to, and that the user can just go and quickly log in with their ID that has that data is all behind, right? So they can log in with their work email address. You can call into a single URL that we call our discovery service, so you don't have to know what their SharePoint site is. You call into that one URL, you say, here's the email address, and then you just tell us, what's the information you want access to? Do you want access to the calendar, to the documents, to their mail? We'll go and prompt, we'll give you the user one single prompt. They don't have to worry about authenticating against Exchange and that being different than authenticating against SharePoint. It all uses OAuth. We'll pop that prompt. We'll then go and pass you as a developer back a token, so then you have access to that information that you requested.
Yeah, and the example on the screen is really a good example of that, where it isn't just I'm accessing SharePoint to get at SharePoint lists and libraries. In this scenario here, you'll see that we're actually going and we're grabbing user profile information about that user. We'll actually go and grab their calendar, as well as the ability to send a mail on that user's behalf. So maybe there's a business solution where maybe they're doing some business data entry there, and at the end of it, it's going to send an email off to the person that was tracking that business solution from kind of the beginning of that business process to the end of the business process. And the ability to go and read all the site collections that user has access to inside SharePoint Online. And it's a really kind of interesting point that this common consent will happen, and then once that user's clicked that consent button, that device application or the standalone web application will immediately have access to that token to go and access all those services that it's declared it needed access to. So once that's happened once, every time they launch that app, they don't get consented again, unless obviously that token expires, where they'll get that prompt for that consent. So it's a really good experience as a user on a device where I don't have to keep entering my password or remember what my username is. Like, it's just, it asks once and it will persist that, and you store that token, and then you just use that token every time you want to consume any of those API layers there. So in terms of that OAuth flow, as Brian mentioned there, we do have access to the various different services. So whether it's Azure AD, Graph, or Exchange, or SharePoint, that is supported on both mobile device applications as well as standalone websites, as I've mentioned. Now, the interesting thing is that you can do this in two ways. With Azure AD, and we'll show the interface in a moment, either as an end user, they can be prompted, and they'll get that consent screen and they read through exactly what the app's going to ask for permissions wise and they click consent. Or an additional flow is that a tenant administrator can actually go and register the application in Azure AD and say that that maybe business application foo can have access to those different areas, the calendar, SharePoint, mail, and everybody within the organization will be automatically consented. In the future, there'll be more granular ability within Azure AD to say maybe that, okay, we know that that foo app is only available to finance, and we'll be able to say that everyone inside this Azure AD group called finance will automatically be consented, but anyone outside of that group won't be able to use that application. So we'll have this ability to kind of deploy these applications and be able to control who has access to be able to use those apps that maybe have access to various different parts of the Office 365 platform. So there's really that governance layer that's available to you as an administrator when it comes to deploying those apps, which is definitely a demand we've seen by customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that big bet on using Azure AD is that really source of truth around what apps there are that are registered, what do they have access to. It really kind of gets back to one of Jeremy's earlier slides about really us kind of going more loosely coupled and saying, you know, SharePoint, Office 365, we shouldn't view ourselves as the core platform that goes and manages the entire lifecycle around apps. That's the Azure team's doing a fantastic job there, right? And so we're saying Azure AD is where the apps get registered. That's how we go and deal with the scopes that the app wants access to. And then we from Office will just go and respect the information that's there. So the admin has one place they can go to. They can go and see what are the apps that are in their enterprise, what are the scopes those apps have access to. And that wouldn't just be Office 365 apps, right? People are going and building all sorts of great apps on top of Azure.
Right. And so with that as well, from a security perspective, it is all OAuth 2.0. So it's something that you'll be familiar with outside of maybe the Office 365 APIs. We don't capture the usernames and passwords now in these device applications or maybe on the standalone websites. And it allows you to have that fine granular scope. And I'll show you that in a moment in the Azure AD interface. But it does also support multi-factor authentication or MFA and also federated users that maybe, for instance, what I mean federated is that if I've shared a document with someone in my OneDrive for Business through a Microsoft account, which was formerly known as the Live ID or your Hotmail or MSN.com accounts, what that means is that if that user's accessing Office 365 purely from that approach, it will also support them authenticating in with a Microsoft account. It doesn't necessarily only work with an organizational account, which I mean is your .onmicrosoft.com username and password. So that's really handy where you have this extranet scenario where I might be in my own organization Office 365 tenant, but sharing it with people outside of my organization via that Microsoft account. Now, there are various different long-term access token needs, and obviously over time that will change, so please keep an eye on MSDN on that information. But it does mean that although that application is granted that token, it will have a lifespan which you can set within Azure AD. And again, there's more information about that on MSDN too. So you do have that flexibility concern based on the security requirements of your organization. Now, as Brian mentioned, from a discovery services perspective, we automatically have a URL that you hit, and we'll show a demonstration in a moment of what gets returned from that JSON package there of what's available in that service. Now, why did we do that with discovery URL? What was the purposes of that being able to ping that to see as a developer or as a user in a device-oriented world?
Yeah, there's a number of reasons for that. With SharePoint, it's possible to do things like have vanity domains and whatnot, right? And so you as a developer can't really predict what the URL is going to be of the SharePoint app for your user. Now, if it's an internal app that you're building just for your corporation, that's a little bit different. You'll at least know what the SharePoint URL is. But if it's something you want to put up in a store and have all sorts of Office 365 customers have access to, you would have to go and ask the user what's their URL. And oftentimes, users don't even know that, right? And so we went and built this discovery service so that you have a single URL you can go and hit. All you have to do is ask the user for what their email address is, and people know what that is. So you pass us up the email address, and we'll go and figure out what the URL is. Another thing where even for internal apps was that people could go and do things like customize their My Site. And so their URL for their Mite site may be different depending on what settings they've done, right? And so that was something that was even more difficult. And so the idea of this discovery service, and it's something we're going to continue to invest in over time, is that you have one place that you go, you authenticate with the user, and then you just tell us what you want access to, and we'll go and get that information for you.
Yeah, so this is all managed from Azure Active Directory, and obviously in the future, you'll be able to have your own services that hook onto this. So that discovery service won't just show what's available from our own Office 365 services, but it'll also show your own custom services you provide. So it's going to be a very flexible layer, and that is a little bit down the line from a future perspective, but just to give you that vision of what that discovery service means. Now, this is all served up through Azure Active Directory, and again, I'll show you that in a moment. But one thing to bear in mind is, from the slide that we're familiar with, maybe the Office APIs of old and maybe the SharePoint client APIs where we hooked onto sites, lists, libraries, workflow, taxonomy, and different other areas of the building blocks of SharePoint Online. The neat thing is where we've introduced the Office 365 APIs, where we think about Active Directory, where we can get user information and group information within Office 365, or maybe Exchange Mail, calendar and contacts. In the future, we'll actually have the ability to go into the consumer edition of that with Outlook.com. So this one API layer is going to not only just be for the Office 365 enterprise type scenario in an organization, but also that personal feel too. But then additionally, we have things like the ability to go into SharePoint Online too. So not only can we get access to the new Sites API that we've released with this Office 365 API, but also we can reuse all that existing SharePoint client API knowledge that you have as maybe a SharePoint developer to reach in and trigger workflows or trigger business connectivity services aspects, or maybe even going into the search APIs inside client API. Now, to bear in mind with that, with that notion there of doing that, you call that API and essentially you're passing that Azure AD token in when you make those calls via those existing client APIs. One common question we get right now is, we're being triggered really by the fact that you're writing a device app or you're writing a standalone web app. The common question I get is, well, what if I'm building an app for SharePoint or an app for Office? You would have noticed with apps for SharePoint, we're commonly calling that client API. The important delineation is when you use the client API right now inside a SharePoint app, that's actually not using Azure AD. That's using ACS, which was the original OAuth mechanism that we did when we shipped apps for SharePoint. Over time, when we ship this into production, because it's still in preview right now as of July of this year, in 2014. But once that's in production, we will start then to allow these APIs to be used within apps for SharePoint. Now, there's already samples online on GitHub, and I'll show you the projects in a moment, where inside apps for Office, because that's a provider-hosted approach, we can call those Office 365 APIs directly from there and follow the similar flow that you'll see and the power of those Office 365 APIs. So we are on a bit of a journey moving over and towards Azure AD as our auth cycle. And so just bear with us as we migrate our existing ACS auth flow that we have within apps for SharePoint over into that Azure AD auth flow. And then obviously, as well as SharePoint, we have our OneDrive for business that's available in this preview right now. But in the future, we'll actually be able to reach into OneDrive Personal too. So I might, in the scenario we'll show in a moment, be able to copy documents that maybe are in my personal OneDrive up into my organizational OneDrive or business to share with my colleagues, which is a very common scenario. Maybe I start working on things on my Surface device and scribbling away, and I think it's just for me. And then I realize when I share it in my org, I can just move it straight over to my OneDrive for business. So these common scenarios is something that Brian's team's working on and understanding and getting that feedback through user voice and improving these APIs over time.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where if you're an existing SharePoint developer, clearly we want to make sure that the experiences that you're used to, the solutions you've built, we can bring forward and still use all of those tools that you have in your toolbox. But we also want to make sure for those folks that don't have as much familiarity with SharePoint that we really think of these APIs and how to go and make sure that they're that they match the context of how people are using them. So Files is a great example where if you've got a bunch of experience with SharePoint, it makes sense to go and navigate through a list, for instance, and then off of that is how you get to a set of documents. But for people that don't have that background around SharePoints, when they go and see a Files API, they really would just expect to get back a set of files, and that's how they go and navigate it. So we're looking at, as Jeremy is saying, allowing people to go and use the existing SharePoint APIs. And if you want to use this new auth flow, you can go and take advantage of that. But also, if you're a new developer and you aren't familiar with SharePoint, there's these new APIs that are much more targeted on that workload that you care about. So like calendar, mail, documents. Rather than having to worry about what are all the complexities of the back end of Exchange or the back end of SharePoint, I just want to get at mail items and I want an API that makes sense for mail.
Right, and so kind of roadmap-wise, I guess, Brian, you know, we can see the Active Directory and Exchange and SharePoint and OneDrive. What other things do you see out there? Like, what other things? You've mentioned Office Graph. What other types of services do you think will plug into this in the future?
Yeah, the way to think about it is really all of the interesting data that we have inside of Office 365. There's a ton of great, rich tools that we have. So there's the things like Word, Excel, PowerPoint. Clearly, we're going to have an API around files so that you can go and get at Word, Excel, PowerPoint documents. But we have additional awareness of the semantics and the information within those documents. So we'll look at going and adding APIs, not just to let you go and get the spreadsheet, but actually go and get it information within the spreadsheet or to push information back to it. We've made a bunch of great progress around OneNote and the Capture API. And so the one set of OneNote APIs allow you to easily go and build a mobile app that goes and pushes information into OneNote. And there's some really cool demos that they went and showed when we announced that back in the spring. The graph, as you mentioned, there's a lot of things that we'll continue to go and add. These APIs really are the future for how we see people going and building solutions that touch and extend on Office 365.
So with that, we'll go in and have a look at how you get started with the Office 365 APIs. So the first thing to bear in mind here is that you can actually go and test this right now without even having Visual Studio on your machine. If you hit up that URL, you're going to go to a sample site, which I'm going to show in a moment, and you'll be able to witness that auth flow on your own behalf. Now, you will need to be in your tenant as the Office 365 tenant admin, because we don't really want any end user being able to hit an app and automatically add it into Azure AD. So you do need to be that tenant admin that when it registers this app with the consent framework, it has to be that tenant admin that gets that put through, because otherwise you could go to an ISV that wants access to all SharePoint sites, and if a business user knew what that app was and consented, it would immediately be put in Azure AD. So yeah, there is that limitation in there for that reason.
Yeah. Basically, we went and thought through what are the different, we refer to them as scopes, what are the different things that your app needs access to? And there's clearly stuff that we say, hey, this is something that an end user can decide to go and give an app access to. And there's other ones that really you wouldn't want an end user. It's only an admin that you would go and allow. And of course, we also will provide the flexibility to the admin to go and provide even more lockdown if that's something that they need. The last thing you want is people panicking about getting too much access to the data.
Right.
But we've done a lot of work around thinking through what are the different types of data you can get access to, and what's the level of permission that actually user needs to have in order to be able to go and grant that access.
Right. And so before I show the Azure AD portal, I wanted to bring up one thing which over time will improve, but I think it's just it's a common question I get asked when people start playing with these APIs. If you look at my screen, what you'll see is that there is this link between an Office 365 tenant and an Azure tenant as well, in the sense that every Office 365 tenant, when it's provisioned, actually has an Azure AD instance with it. Now, when you first log into manage.windowsazure.com to try and find your Azure AD instance, you want to be using your Office 365 organizational account, tenant admin account. And the first time you'll hit it, you'll see this screen. Do not be worried. Over time, this will improve. But what happens is, if you follow this flow, essentially what you want to do is go through and say sign up for Windows Azure. Now, you'll be asked for your email address, so you need to put in your tenant admin organizational account email in there. And then you'll be prompted to select the organizational account. You will need to actually go through this flow and verify. And then what this is doing is setting up that Windows Azure account so you can get into that portal. You will be asked for credit card information. You will not be charged if you're just using Azure AD, because that is part of the Office 365 aspect. Now, when you go and deploy an app, what that means is
If experiences are any different for you by between now and the time that you actually watch this
video. That's right. It's because you've improved it.
Yeah, we've improved it.
Yeah.
You can just send Jeremy an email and he'll go and help you walk through the new experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Ideally, it won't need any help. It'll just.
It's going to get easier very quickly.
It should be a lot easier, yes. Yeah.
And this is really the first example of where kind of the Office division are working with a whole another set of engineers, right, from an Azure perspective.
Yeah.
And I think it really makes sense to, rather than you guys roll your own kind of app registration, that we're leveraging something that already exists inside the Azure portal.
Yeah, it really comes to that whole one Microsoft mantra, right?
Yeah.
Like we're doing a much better job here of really leveraging the expertise of the different groups within the company.
Yeah, so you can see here I'm inside my managed portal, and right here you'll see that there is actually a directory, which is my directory for my own account here. And if I jump into that, you'll see that there's various different nodes around the active directory for this hosted in Azure.
Azure guys have done just an awesome job.
I love this portal. And actually, there's a newer portal here, but I'm just, for the safe side, because it's preview using the current UI.
No, that's great.
And so when I click on the Applications tab here, you'll see there's various different applications that have been registered. So for instance, one I'll show later on is the Discovery Win8 app, which is actually available on MSDN code library. And when you go into the configure this Discovery Win8 app, it's a bit of a tongue twister, you'll see here that there's things like the client ID, there's a redirect URI that you need to identify as a unique identifier. But then this is the bit I was talking about in terms of what permissions this application actually has. So in this instance, you can see that it's got Office 365 SharePoint Online, and it's got the ability to go in and see Active Directory. And if I look at what permissions it has when I open that and expand that, what you'll see is that this app has the ability to edit or delete items in all site collections that the user has access to, and also read items. Now, being smart, or trying to be smart and trying to catch out the engineers, I thought, oh, I wonder what happens if I go grant the application edit permissions, but then go to a site where the user only has read access to a site collection, like which one wins? Well, in actual fact, even if the app is granted edit permissions, but the user consents the app to access a site they only have read to, they'll only be able to do read. You'll actually get an exception error if I try and, for instance, edit a document or delete a document there. Yeah. So nice work engineering on the scenarios.
Glad to hear we got it right.
Yeah, yeah. I could see Brian sweating a little bit.
There's yeah, I was like, what are you going to say?
Yeah. So that kind of thing is all taken care of for you. But as I say, in the future, there'll be the ability here to come in and grant particular groups of people. Right now that doesn't happen, it's an all or nothing on a tenant, but in the future you'll be able to do that. So this is the Active Directory. You can see, obviously naturally I've been playing with this for a while, I've got quite a few samples deployed into my test tenant. But as I say, there is a few hoops right now which will definitely get better as we move forward there with the link between your Office 365 tenant and your Azure AD tenant, which is automatically set up when you sign up for Office 365, but you need to register the Azure dashboard to be able to see that tenant when you link through with your organizational tenant admin account. So from an auth process, this is another interesting demo here, where this is available on MSDN Code Gallery as well. And if I just jump through into that demo, this is something you can download from the MSDN Code Gallery. And you can see here that even if you are on and our engineers could go through and put in the dev discovery service here. But when I click on the buttons in order here, if I click on first sign on, it's going to ask me for my credentials. Now, I'm just going to quickly jump through and cheat and grab from one of my readmes here, and I don't remember which one it was now, the username, wrong one.
That was your password, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was awesome, wasn't it? It's untitled, come on, Jeremy. I'm going to log in here on that tenant, and you'll notice it's a different tenant. And we'll get back a series of JSON. And then you'll notice what it's automatically done is, based on my username, it's worked out which discovery service I need to go and call to get authorized to discover what services are available to me to get a token to then go and get what I want to get, which is, in this case, I'm going to grab some files from OneDrive. Mm-hmm. So now if I go and go get authorized, it'll automatically go and enter in that username in this demo. And now what I do want to do is go and grab that password.
I think it was pass at.
Yeah.
Password at 1234.
And then, thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
And then what you'll see here is that this app is asking for edit, delete items on the site collection, read items, and sign in to read your profile, which you saw when we went into the manage, in the manage portal. So now if I OK on that, what that's actually going to do is know that that user that's logged into this app now, it will go and register my individual user has consented that app. So if next time this happens and my app calls that service, Azure AD will ultimately go, well, that user's already consented, so you don't need to do that flow again. So this will return that that authorization token there. And then from there, if I click on Discover, and I scroll down here, this will now tell me all the services that are available within this tenant. So you can see here I have my files, I have contacts, calendar, and mail. And I can immediately go off and either go to my EWS OData endpoints or to my OneDrive for Business API OData endpoint.
And you can see this is this example, right, of the OneDrive for Business. There's no way that the end user would have remembered that URL and
right.
given it to your app.
We got to love SharePoint for the URLs. We can blame your engineering people for that,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm giving you grief.
Thank you.
I'll probably get a few high fives of that when people see this session.
That's right.
And then if I click Get Token, what that's actually going to do there is return the token, the access token, which then I use whenever I make any calls off to these APIs that I want to do things. So in this scenario, I'm actually going to use that URL for OneDrive, and I'm going to click Get Files. And what that's going to do, if I scroll down, is actually return all of the files that are in that OneDrive for Business for that particular user in that tenant. So this is a really good demo to kind of understand the flow within Office 365 APIs. So hopefully you get an understanding about the way the kind of the communication that happens when you first set this up within a particular application. And again, this app, this sample is available on MSDN as well. So please go and check that out, and the links are all available inside these slide decks too.
Yeah, that one's a great sample just for seeing what are the steps you need to go through to go and
right.
set up auth and all that. It's nice.
And then from that aspect with Visual Studio, what we see is we need some tools. And so what tools do we need to get started with Office 365 APIs?
Yeah, you know, the thing is we're very flexible around it, right, clearly. So we've got everything from if you're using the Android SDK, you can just go and use Eclipse if you want to. But we've been really excited about some of the work that the Visual Studio team has done.
Right. right?
They've really done some phenomenal stuff, actually. And there's an add-in you can go and get for 365. It's still in preview. It's just called the Office 365 API Tools. And what that does is that allows you to go and connect to our services, just saying add a new connected service. And it'll go and take care of the Azure AD registration for you. It'll go and get an app ID for your app if you haven't already specified one. So it'll take care of all of that. It's great. I love going and playing around with the thing because of just how much it streamlines that whole experience.
Yeah, and you can just go and grab that directly from within Visual Studio. Just type in Office 365 API and it'll come up and you can pull that straight into your project. If you get a few questions on why it isn't built into Visual Studio, well, because the engineering team are releasing all these new APIs, we needed a slick way of updating these tools within Visual Studio that wasn't in the same rhythm of update one, update two that comes out in Visual Studio. So these are actually NuGet packages that get added.
Yeah.
So as and when engineering ship new services, the Visual Studio team update that NuGet package. When you open your projects, if there's an updated package, it'll pull that down for you. So it's a really slick process from that.
Yeah, it used to be that when we'd work with the Visual Studio folks, like we would be on this 2.5-3 year cycle. And so we'd go in through a whole set of planning with them and we'd all know exactly what we were going to go and work on, and they'd update their tools and we'd update the platform. And then we'd go and ship, and then usually about 3 months after we'd ship, they would go and have the final version. Well, we're updating now monthly, weekly, right? And
right.
so clearly it's not a thing where every time we put out a new release, they're going to go and release a new version of Visual Studio.
So they're doing the same thing as I'm doing. They're using Office Delve to stalk you guys to work out what's coming in the service so they can go and update their tools, right?
We have weekly meetings.
I'm teasing. So from a support perspective, as of right now when we're recording this, we have support for the APIs directly in Visual Studio for those following project types. And Windows Phone 8.1 is coming. Windows Phone 8 won't be supported due to the ADOL the Active Directory libraries, but with Windows 8.1, they will actually have that support very soon. But as Brian mentioned, we already have Android SDK available. There's an iOS SDK available. But you can target all those different mobile platforms with these multi-platform project types like Xamarin and like the multi-device Cordova ones as well. So it's really exciting to see what's happening around this device world connecting through to the Office 365 APIs.
Yeah.
So in terms of getting started, when you want to add this to an existing project, essentially there's an Add Connected Service button in the project, and this will list all those services. Now, what's really important, and we'll show this in a demo in a second, is that it'll go and discover those available services. So in Visual Studio, the tooling is actually using this approach. So
yeah, the key thing here, too, right, was that with the Visual Studio experience, it was the idea that you're not just going to go and create a brand new project right from scratch and say, I want to go and create a project that is an O365 connected project. That wouldn't make sense. You probably already have some app that you've been working on. And so the thing that's great about this experience is that from any project that you're in, you can just decide, hey, I've got this cool mobile app, but it deals with time management. I want to go and connect to the user's calendar. So I'm just going to go and right-click on the project, say add a connected service, and now I'm talking to the Office 365 calendar APIs. So it's a really nice flow that really works better with what people already have set up, saying, hey, you don't need to go and build something from scratch. You can take any of your existing apps you have today and get those things connected to the services.
Right, so on my screen, just as Brian was talking, I just created a brand new ASP.NET MVC application. And so that you're right, this could have been something that's been in the works for a few months, and we're like, we wanted a document storage. So rather than rolling your own document storage, what we can just do is simply go in, right-click, add, connected service, and then when we see here, and there'll be a bunch of other services that they're going to connect to inside Visual Studio, but for now, Office 365 is pride and place here, is I can click sign in. It's going to basically allow me to go and sign in directly as whatever tenant I need to be in here. So if I go in to my my test tenant, if I can type properly, and go and grab my my password here. Oh, no. Okay. We had to have one bad demo. Come on. Let's just see if I can get to try that one more time. It did actually let me sign in, so I'm not sure.
This is the fun of when you're a demoer and you have about five different
tenants set up. I know, right?
It gets rough.
There you go. Work that time.
Yeah.
So I'm in my tenant, and it's gone and it's returned all of the services available to my tenant. So again, if I was an enterprise customer in the future and I had my own services as part of the Azure AD Active Directory registration, they would appear in here as well. So say, for instance, I wanted to use mail for whatever reason. Here are the permissions that I can configure. Now, remember, what that's actually doing under the covers is when I apply that, it'll go and register this web application one, which is terrible, so you've got to make sure you're naming your projects correctly, in your Azure AD tenant, and it will go and put those permissions in automatically for you. So you don't even have to go in and go into the manage Azure to do that. Now, if you're in Eclipse or if you're in a standalone IDE, you would need to go in and do this manually. So Visual Studio allows you to benefit from kind of sitting in the IDE and staying here because we understand that flow that you're going to use to register your apps.
Yeah. And then if you went off to Azure AD, you would now see this app show up there. It would have those scopes that you'd asked for, right? And so you didn't have to go off there. And
right. So it's really powerful from that perspective. Yeah. But naturally, as you're saying, it's not just for Visual Studio developers. This is for native Android devs and native iOS devs as well.
Yeah, and in fact, we'll continue to do work to make the tooling experiences on other platforms better and better too. And so we obviously built the SDK for Android. We'll look at doing things like, hey, should we have some Eclipse experiences that we want to go and improve on? So it's something that we recognize not everybody's in Visual Studio, but the experience in Visual Studio is just phenomenal, right?
Yeah. I must admit, when I go, I've been doing the demos with the Android native stuff, and you start using Eclipse, you're like, oh man, we are so lucky having Visual Studio as an IDE.
Yeah.
But we won't drag on that too much. In terms of the websites to go to for this, the aka.ms/Office365DevAPIs is really where you want to go to find out about how to get started. All the documentation on the APIs are there. We're continually improving this content as well. There's been a lot of feedback on our Yammer network and of user voice around making that clearer for you guys. So keep an eye on that. So now what we're going to do, just to kind of wrap up this module, just to get even more excited, is to jump into a few more demos. So I've got an ASP.NET MVC demo I just want to show you here. So we showed the discovery one, but what I want to show as well as discovery is something you would have seen in our intro demo here, which is the scenario of pulling documents from OneDrive. So on the left-hand side here is all the documents that are available inside my SharePoint site. So again, I can use the Files API to get at my SharePoint documents. And on the right-hand side, this is my OneDrive for Business. But as we mentioned, roadmap-wise, in the future, we will also be able to use the API to call and get documents from our personal OneDrive as well. So this app is actually showing this flow where I could say, well, maybe I've worked on a document in SharePoint in a team site, but I want to copy it back over to my OneDrive for Business. So that maybe, for instance, the demo's timed out. It's not me being unlucky. Brian's looking at me going, oh my God, he's cursed me.
No, it's okay.
Essentially, what that's done
it's
is...
real.
It is real. So I'm just going to log back in and just sign in, because I think what it is the app's just timed out. But essentially, it allows me to push those documents around between that service. So I can come over to my training documents, right-click, and copy to my OneDrive, and you'll see that appears, and maybe I want to delete that from my team site now. Now all that code is happening in my Windows 8 app in this instance, and I'm communicating between the Files API endpoint, but in one instance I'm using SharePoint lists and libraries where my document's stored, and the secondary point is where it's in my OneDrive for Business. Now if I jump into that project, and again this one is available on GitHub as well, when I look inside my factory class here, and you'll see that's where it errored, in the first instance, because it was using that token when it called this function, is all that code is there. So you can go in and have a look exactly how those methods were doing. So you can see the delete document, I'm passing through the document object, which was in the UI. I'm using that document ID to call my MyFiles client, and then I'm waiting for that to return, because we're all async when it comes to Windows 8. And once it returns, we're going to essentially end this command and update the UI. So it's very, very simple code to get this going. And naturally, the Windows 8 SDK is very similar to what the Windows Phone one will be when that's launched. And natively, Android SDK and the iOS SDK will be similar too. Yeah. So once you've learned the API once, you can do it across multiple different coding languages as well.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was one demo that you can go and grab around that. And again, we'll have more modules in different courses that go a lot deeper than this. The second one I wanted to show you was the AngularJS HTML JavaScript demo. So that, again, is also on GitHub.
This one's super cool.
This is something that we've been working on for a while, which is a research tracker. So again, we have a few projects here, and I'm going to take a hedged bet here that this is probably timed out too. But I'm just going to see, let's just prove it. So if I refresh, I'm blunted for punishment for just trying it. There you go. So that debugger's probably died. So what I'm going to do is jump into that project, and I'm just going to start up the SP research tracker again. And what that's going to do is it's going to compile it, build it, run IS locally on my Windows 8 machine, and kick off Chrome, and load this this web app up for me. And that's actually going to go off and call the Office 365 APIs, and it's going to actually reach into an existing SharePoint site and go and get a bunch of data out of it. So you can see here that inside here, I've got a few projects. So in this instance, I've got an MVA test project. And you'll see it's all single page applications. There wasn't a page load there. That was all naturally refreshing in a UI. So it's what users expect these days. Now, what I can do here is I can go and add references directly. So again, that UI is nice and flow. It's what we expect. But what I wanted out of this demo was a scenario where maybe I go off to blogs.office.com. And we'll see here that today, we published another podcast with Scott Hillier, who actually helped build this demo in actual fact. And I might want to bookmark this as part of that research. So I click on add in the bookmarklet, which I dragged from my project, and click save there. I haven't had to go to a SharePoint page at all. I haven't even gone into an app for SharePoint. I'm living within my research project app, which can be running in wherever I like it.
Yeah, so you as a developer, you're just using the tools and
I'm comfortable in.
You're an Angular developer, you love Bootstrap, like, hey, this is
absolutely, yeah. So you can see here that that's now added that podcast show there. Nice little plug for the pod show as well.
All right, like cool.
And then I can go and add comments. Now, in the future, we'll extend this demo so that rather than it just being, this is cool, and click save, that we'll actually integrate that with the Yammer conversation thing there. So we can kick off a Yammer conversation directly in this Angular app, and then essentially kind of have that conversation in a Yammer group, but start those conversations directly in our Angular app. Now, in addition to the Angular app that we've built there, what we also have, if I spin up, again, I'll just kick it a little bit just to make sure it's running, an Outlook add-in too. So if I click up that Outlook add-in, what that's actually doing is, once that boots up into Chrome, is that's going to run an OAuth app. Now, the scenario here is that Jeremy, so I'm talking to myself over email, has sent me a link to dev.office.com. You'll see now that we have these lit up entrances into our application. So I click on the research tracker here.
You could also go and LinkedIn yourself.
And I could go and LinkedIn myself. Yeah. Obviously, you know, thousands of connections, very popular guy.
Yeah.
And when I click on that research tracker, that's going to load. In this case, we've done it as an ASP.NET MVC app. I load my project. It'll go and discover the links in my email. So in this case, it's discovered that dev.office.com link. And now I can go and add that to my project, all from within OAuth. Or if I was in my Outlook desktop client within my Outlook desktop, I could be on an iPad using OAuth and I can use this app. So it's very, very powerful. You build the app once, but I can leverage it on multiple different services.
Everywhere that you use Outlook, that app will show up.
Right, and then if I go back into my research project now, you'll see that new link, and I really need to come up with some more URLs to use in my demos because I've already got it added, but you get the idea there. And then lastly here, if I spin up the Word web, wrong link, and I start that up. Again, this is an ASP.NET MVC instance too, so we've tried to show a few different platforms that you can build this app in. When I spin up Word, in this instance, I'm booted up into Word desktop client, but in the future, this will work in modern Word, it'll work on Word on the iPad and wherever places we choose to use. So if I log into this with my tenant here and sign in, what that's going to do is that's going to reach back into SharePoint for my Word app. It's going to know where my research tracker storage is within my SharePoint site. I can pick my MVA test project there, and maybe I want to add the podcast and dev.office.com to this document. And what it will do is, when I do an insert selected link information, it injects that table of references directly into my Word document. So again, we've got this ability, a little bit like the Wikipedia app we've showed in the previous module, to leverage the Office 365 APIs directly from an app for Office inside of Word and Outlook as well.
Yeah, really, the key thing there is it's just all about exposing these APIs, and then depending on what platform you're on, we'll have SDKs, you can use the languages you want, but you're connecting to those APIs and you're able to go and interact with Office data and Office content in the way that you want.
Yeah, and then one last one I wanted to show, if I go, and again, all of these are available on GitHub as well. And I believe this one, I'm just going to kill this and go in again because I'm pretty sure that one probably timed out as well, is this is another ASP.NET MVC. And this is something that Thorsten Hans, who's a SharePoint MVP, built for us to highlight the endpoints. And we demoed this at the SharePoint Power Hour TechEd North America this year. And what this allows me to do is just to show the different endpoints that we have. And so, for instance, if I jump on contacts here, it should automatically log me in, and it's gone and shown all the contacts I have against my tenant. So naturally, you know, I'm good pals with Bill Gates.
Yeah, you guys hang out all the time, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, beers every Friday, you know, just to chat about things. But if I go back into my my people inside of my account, that you can see that like for like,
true.
Right?
You really are great friends with
them. Yeah, yeah. So we've got huge conversations going. But if I go into the calendar here, and I go, you'll see that there's an event coming up, the Toronto IndyCar. And if I go onto the calendar here, you'll see that's that event that's come through. So from an ASP.NET MVC app, we have the ability to use these APIs to get into those services that we integrate with in that way. And you can see that I obviously send a lot of emails to myself too.
Yeah, and I love that in the Power Hour where you showed how to throw this together, and it was just really nice, clean, straightforward.
Yeah, and so we'll deep dive into that in future modules too, where we really show from kind of the beginning of the project all the way to actually F5-ing into an end demo of how you can build those things in Office 365.
Yeah.
So hopefully those demos have got you really excited about what you can do with these APIs, and not just in the Microsoft stack, but in AngularJS and with Android and in the future iOS and lots of other different platforms too. So with that, we just want to wrap up, which is essentially that this is a new way of calling into all those available Office 365 services. As of recording this, it's available in preview. It will be in production shortly, and I won't put Brian on the spot on the dates, but the best place to keep up with that is our roadmap, which is at office.com/roadmap. There are plenty of great samples available. So the way you want to find the samples is dev.office.com. We have a site there where we're listing all of the code samples in a directory, whether they're in GitHub, maybe they're on MSDN Code Gallery because they come from our official content management team, or maybe they're in CodePlex where the community's been working, or even available on people's blogs too. So dev.office.com is the place to go. So from a calls to action perspective, you know, go and check out dev.office.com, but go and check out the samples at aka.ms/office-dev-samples. We've talked about patterns and practice a lot. You can go to that URL there to see kind of what we recommend in project formats and how you can get started and common core libraries here.
You can also go to GitHub to get a lot of the...
Yeah, and GitHub is actually where the patterns and practices is going to be, where we're publishing the stuff, and we want you guys to contribute there too,
yeah,
to those PMPs. But also, if you have questions, we have sponsored tags in Stack Overflow. So if you go to that URL of Ask SharePoint or Ask Office, and also the Office 365 tag in Stack Overflow is the one that is particularly around these APIs. But also, as Brian's mentioned at the beginning of this, there's a user voice forum where you can get to at aka.ms/office-dev-feedback, where we genuinely are listening. So even if you don't have an idea of what you need in the APIs, I'd encourage you to go and check out the user voice, because there's a lot of other people and ISVs or big enterprise developers that are requesting certain new things. Like, there's a lot of demand for Office Graph within that API,
yeah,
set.
Yep.
And so use your votes. You can go in there and vote those things up, and even add comments of exactly what you want from that requirement too.
Yeah.
And I can genuinely say that those meetings are happening with engineering to make sure this stuff's happening. So
yeah. We have a program manager assigned for managing that site.
Right.
We as the leadership team go and review that on a monthly basis, look at how to add some of that stuff into our backlog of work depending on what people have voted up. So we're really actively engaged in that.
Yeah, and if you go to office.com/roadmap, there's some of those features that are in the roadmap right now have directly come from those user voice,
yeah,
requests. So it's really exciting to see the fact that people using Office 365 as a developer can really get and influence you guys in engineering.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of requests, so we're not able to get to all of them. but we do look at the votes, so we use that to determine which are the ones that people really are much more vocal about, really want, and we use that to add to our backlog of work.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining me again for this session. It's always great to get engineering here and to get your excitement of what you're working on. And obviously, you know, we're looking for more feedback from the people listening, but is there anything you'd like to leave the people watching this module with as you know, kind of someone who's kind of living in this world of Office 365 development?
Everything? Yeah, you know, like this module is one of the ones that I was super excited about just because of the idea of these O365 APIs. It's a brand new thing for us, the idea of... It's not just all about getting your stuff into Office. It's about using Office and having Office go and complement your own solutions. And so go start playing around with the APIs. As Jeremy said, they'll be coming out of preview here later on this year. But we'd love to get your feedback, and we're just going to keep going, keep adding more APIs. So go play around with them and give us your feedback.
Great. Well, with that, thanks very much for your time, Brian. And I hope you guys have enjoyed this module. And please, again, there'll be an additional course coming up which will heavily deep dive into every individual one of the services that are launched. And we'll continue to keep adding those modules to that course as Brian's team ship them into the service. So thanks again, and look forward to seeing what you guys build inside the Office 365 development platform.